Nalu FM Finance Podcast. Insight into the financial markets.
At the end of the day, finding the data, it's sometimes complicated. It needs a structured data. But on the other side, it's also because the data that you need more often than not is produced by your competitors.
This podcast is powered by Vesta, the engine behind active management. Vesta is a Switzerland-based fintech startup that provides software for issuers of actively managed certificates to automate their value chain fully. Visit Vesta, V-E-S-T-R.com, to schedule a meeting with an expert and to learn more about Vesta.
I'm here with Victor Hugo Gomez, who is the CEO of Beta, for and foremost an index provider, but also aiming to be, you know, the leader for investment customization. Can you tell us something interesting about yourself? Most people don't know. Let's start with you as the person here. You're the reason why I'm here today.
Definitely. And by the way, thank you, Stefan, for the opportunity to participate in your podcast. I would say something people don't know about me is I tried to escape finance already like 5 or 6 times in my life, and somehow it drags me back. So from the beginning, so I wanted to study geology, somehow I ended up studying economics and then going into finance. Then later down the line, I had a startup about education, but then went back to finance. Then decided to do an MBA to move more into management, and ended up working for the German Stock Exchange. And then I even got involved in a gastronomy startup and ended up having now a fintech. So,
I mean, that leads me actually a little bit to my next question is, you've done yourself other startups before, but you also looked after venture investments in one of your jobs beforehand. What have you learned during this time that you incorporated into Beta? Because you probably have learned a lot what to do and what not to do.
Yeah, I mean, so I think the key ingredient at the end of the day is have passion for what you're trying to build. That's the first, right? So that's a necessary condition. But then a must have becomes finding quickly the product market fit. Because there's a lot of startups that die early because they never really understood the industry, or they never really had figured out how they were going to penetrate that industry. And then finally, I think another one is it's execution. Be extremely execution driven.
I couldn't agree more.
Right. Of course, I could tell the most romantic ones like team management, etc. That's for sure. But I think when I look at where most startups fail is when it comes to execution.
Yeah. Now, for your business, your current business Beta, who are your usual clients and how do you, as a company, help them?
Yeah. So today, if you look at our current client footprint, we are primarily focused on serving on one side ETFs, asset management firms that are looking to launch funds or investment vehicles and need an index on the back. But we're also serving a good number of trading firms. They have a little bit of a different set of needs where they might need real-time data, real-time calculations, delivering very low latency, where we also have products out for. Now, going forward, we're starting to get inroads as we start launching and some of our technology. We're starting to get inroads into the more the investment advisory RIA space.
I see. Now, I assume what brought you to Frankfurt was probably one of your previous jobs. And I've interacted now with quite a few people in your office, but you have a very, let's call it, diverse team. Me as a German can probably say this. But I think that's a great thing, but I think also what has sort of helped in the sense, what are the challenges you had, yeah, were able to solve because you have such a diverse team?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so in all transparency, right? So it's very difficult to start an indexing company because you normally need a lot of infrastructure and you need a lot of people and you need a lot of data. Right from the beginning. So I think being a Latin American by background helped a lot because I was able to, from the early on, get a team of very, very talented people that if I would have hired here in Germany, logically my cost would have been significantly higher. So it allowed Beta to bootstrap from the beginning, reach a certain scale where we then were able to start getting institutional funding. In terms of challenges, I think COVID makes things difficult from an operational perspective, right? A lot of our teams work remotely, but I tend to be a little bit of a, I prefer personally working in an office. There's nothing like the feeling in an office. Yeah. And sometimes you find yourself in situations where there's meetings to discuss something that somebody could have shouted to the person next to it in an office, right? So so I think that's one of the challenges of having a team that is spread around different locations.
But I think one of the advantages, at least for the so-called finance industry, is I always complained when I was earlier that, you know, what we produce you can't touch. During COVID, that's not a bad thing, I think. It all exists inside a computer.
Definitely.
Now, if you think about your industry, that's called the index calculation, is that sort of a one common myth that you would like to debunk about the industry?
Yes, definitely. A lot of people think that building and maintaining an index is as simple as figuring out some stocks, putting them together, and then and then calculating a value, putting it out. And it's extremely complex business, very accurate. So making a mistake has a big impact, and operations are very heavy. So you need to have very solid infrastructure. You need to manage and analyze a lot of data points per second. So it is more complex than what people think.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Now, when you design an index, what are start with the design, the first step, what are the challenges that you encounter or in that process?
Normally it's data. Right. One of the big challenges in indexing is you can have a lot of index ideas in different asset classes and different angles, but at the end of the day, finding the data it's sometimes complicated. On one side, because indexing needs, because it's a rules-based industry and regulation forces to be rules-based, it needs a structured data. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, it's also because the data that you need more often than not is produced by your competitors.
I found, and I don't know how you deal with this, it would be interesting to hear, how do you make sure that data is actually good? I mean, you get often data, you get access, but is it actually good?
Yeah. You always need to have redundancy, for example, so that's the first thing. So you need to pay everything twice from different vendors, so you can have always a point of reference. And then you need to have mechanisms in your systems where you can isolate either prices that do not correspond to a norm, or where you can evaluate data sets historically and identify holes or identify issues and then fix them and then sort of like rerun the process again in a.
And once the index is designed, then your job becomes to regularly calculate it either intraday or only once a day. What are the challenges and that you?
Well, one of the complex things is always corporate actions. So handling corporate actions. Because you can have corporate actions where you have two companies merging, then spinning out a business, but then giving the shareholders from company A shares in company C, and then out of that, then also spinning out that company D that they then put into an IPO, right? And making sure that the index reflects the next day, all the mechanisms on the right manner can be complex. The other part is basically the day-to-day interaction with clients, right? So clients tend to come and pin you down on, hey, why is this? Why is that? And so it needs a lot of sometimes back and forth with clients, even though people don't think so.
Which is actually leads me to my next question. When a client comes to you, what would be your advice, you know, when designing an index? Because often they have probably great ideas, but yeah. What is doable?
I have two. The first one would be license BetaCore, which is a software that we have that allows clients to self-index, because that way you cut the back and forth of what if you do this, what if you do that.
So they can design their own index, but also back test it.
Exactly, yeah. They can very quickly prototype. So that's one. The second, to be honest, is keep it simple. I know it sounds bad coming from, but this is the reality. I think the best indexes are the indexes that are simple. You can have a very exciting topic. You can have a very exciting theme. You can have, or a selection mechanism, But I don't. A lot of people try to overcomplicate how to weigh the stocks and how to cap them and how to work in certain situations. And I think the beauty of indexing and passive is that it should be simple.
Yeah. Think about this. Looking back, you probably have seen quite a lot of indices or call them quantitative investment strategy. Is there a favorite one that lately came across your desk and you thought, you know, that was an interesting approach?
Well, back at the beginning, the first some of the first thematic funds for me were very interesting because at that time they were just looking differently on how sectors are constructed. There's a lot of work. I still not haven't seen the great product there, but there's a lot of work being done in using AI as a weighting mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can explain this a little bit more.
Yeah. So basically, this is more towards active management indices, right? Where basically you have an AI based rule book, and the AI is rebalances, looks back at what went well, what went wrong, learns and reiterates, and then sort of like your index engine starts learning as it goes, right? So there's some experiments being done out there that I will be looking to see how that evolves and what the regulator thinks about it over in its.
Yeah, I mean that is something I've noticed, and is that sort of the what we call sort of active, dynamic, passive, static, for a better word. The edges are definitely blurring, and you know there's a lot of quantitative investment traders out there. They're very very active. They trade intraday. They're very dynamic. You know, when does it become really active? Is it only because a human decides it, or in this case, as you mentioned, AI. Do you see other trends that you?
Yeah, I mean we're seeing a lot of just transitioning exposures that were managed through mutual funds and sometimes inactive strategies and putting them into a rules based mm-hmm. type of a index. We're seeing a lot of pickup on crypto on the indexing side. So I think that is one of the areas of growth, not only for Beta, but I think for the industry, I think custom indexing is becoming more and more important. So not just having an index and put it in a storefront and hoping that somebody can license it.
That is probably a bit of a technical and legal question here, but we always often use the word index, but then then there's basket calculation, other things, and then there is regulators who define, is it a benchmark or not? Can you maybe break it easily down for us? What is actually the difference between an index and a basket, and where does the whole EU benchmark regulation come into play?
Yeah. So normally in the indexing industry, you have, let's say, three models, right? So the index provider can build an index, own the intellectual property, and then license it out. In all cases, especially if the index provider is based in Europe, that needs to be compliant with the regulation. So it's going to be BMR compliant index.
BMR stands for benchmark regulation.
Then there you're going to have engagements where the client develops some IP and they just need you to calculate. Those cases are primarily going to come from US and other geographies where not necessarily somebody administer an index needs to comply with certain set of rules, right? And then in that sense, you just receive a methodology, you code it in your system, and you run and calculate. And then the third one is what you call basket calculation. In that case, you're doing basically dirt, just plain vanilla calculation. So you don't even rebalance the portfolio for the client. The client already sends you on whatever periodicity, they send you a series of stocks or securities and some weights, and then you just value that portfolio.
Off of an independent
data. Portfolio valuation. Yeah. I would not even call it an index.
Yeah, it's like an intraday NAV, basically.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Now, the first index funds probably started 45 years ago, but it feels like only over the last 8-10 years, this has become very popular. Why is the index business growing so much now?
Well, I think it's several things. So I think the ETF as an investment vehicle has proven itself to be very efficient. I think by now, it's really difficult for an active manager to justify management fees. There's of course exceptions, but I mean, let's say
if you want to cover the general market, yeah, it's very difficult. Yes.
Yeah. So let's say the benchmark hogger, it's becoming extinct.
Right. And the regulator is paying more and more attention to it, that people trying to charge active management fees but actually hogging a benchmark.
Yeah, and then you have the new type of it, so the new generation, especially this last generation, they are pretty much into investing, but they are not the guys that are going to be, you know, your typical guy in the past that you would buy the Wall Street Journal because he was an enthusiast, and then he would try to see let me find something sophisticated. The current generation is more about topics, about themes, about what do I believe on.
Yeah.
But then the implementation, they tend to go for simple, cost-effective solutions, right? So.
Yeah. Now, I also noticed that probably at least the last year, 18 months or so, there's a lot of M&A activity in the particular associated with the direct indexing space. I'm not quite sure about it. What is really the business case for direct indexing in these custom index solutions?
I think direct indexing can add value in certain situations, right? So I think one is simply when you need a certain custom exposure that you cannot get off the shelf anywhere, right? And maybe you are not, so you are a registered investment advisor and you're managing smaller portfolios, and going to an index provider and just licensing an index is not cost effective, right? So that is one case where if you can just get access to the composition and you just trade directly, you can get back. Anywhere where trading, any use case where trading the underlying stocks can be done on a cost efficient manner as well, there can be some value given. I think even in the institutional side for pension funds that want to bypass the investment vehicle in the middle, and they know that they can have very cost efficient execution, direct indexing can be of value. Mm-hmm. I don't think direct indexing is the ETF killer like some people are saying out there, in the sense of that it's always a better, if you look at the fees, yeah, of what direct indexing companies are charging in the US, I don't see the cost efficiency against an ETF.
Yeah, I always often saw it, particularly say for retail, who said basically if you want to be diversified but you only can spend $1,000 a month, you can only buy 3 shares or not even an Apple share. So you need a way of getting access to fractional shares and managing that one. No, but I agree. Yeah, I mean, if you look at the
So it's an attractive market. We're aiming to enter that market with some of our solutions. But all I'm saying is that not in every case it brings value.
Are there any other trends you mentioned earlier? You know, crypto and particular challenges you see coming up for the industry? Is there, you think, more regulatory oversight? Or?
Well, I mean, the from an index perspective, the you have the complete challenge that is still in a lot of the regulatory environments. You cannot invest, for example, a UCITS vehicle on crypto. Mm-hmm. It cannot be put into an ETF wrapper in a lot of the, for example, in a lot of the regulatory environments, and that translates then also for an index strategy. One of the issues here is that benchmark regulation talks a lot about the quality of the pricing, and it needs to be market determined, et cetera, et cetera. And logically, in crypto, there can be, as the framework is still being evolved, there can be situations where it could be easier to manipulate things.
Thank you very much, number one. But as one question I always like to ask everybody, what are your up to 3 favorite finance movies you would recommend to the audience and why?
Yeah, I would say number one by far would be Wall Street, the original one. So the introduction of Gordon Gekko to the world, I think that movie inspired tons of people into going into finance.
I know a few people who
So I think that movie was fantastic. And I think out of the most recent ones, I really like The Big Short.
Yeah.
I like the way it got filmed. So a little bit trying to explain some of the complex terms in layman terms. But on the other hand, like combining a little bit of a documentary approach with a traditional movie. So
Last question then for you. How can interested parties best get in contact with you if they want to use your service as a beta?
Yeah, so they can contact us, of course, through our website. They can send us an email to info@betadata.com. They can contact anyone from my team on LinkedIn.
Excellent. Thank you, Victor.
Nalu FM Finance Podcast. Insight into the financial markets.
This podcast is powered by Vesta, the engine behind active management. Vesta is a Switzerland-based fintech startup that provides software for issuers of actively managed certificates to automate their value chain fully. Visit Vesta, VESTR.com, to schedule a meeting with an expert and to learn more about Vesta.